Stop impersonating Democrats.
Sorry, this guy. I'm on two genders now!
Is that someone that you...
Science! Climate change! 500 genders!
And this is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
The accelerated, bizarre, mega-level lying of corporate weaponized terror media, and how the left and mainstream corporate media are trying to cause a civil war, in their own words, and are trying to terrorize the public, and are the biggest premeditated liars the planet has ever seen. And we have Trump's plan for the country and the fact that he is currently not going to run for re-election. And was never intending to run for re-election. He wants to turn the country around, get a whole bunch of peace deals, and then ride off into the sunset. Even George Washington served two terms and didn't do that. It's genius. And his goal, you know how Trump is obsessed with finishing buildings under budget and ahead of schedule. He's OCD about fixing things and about things working really well. And you could see, since he became president, this incredible maverick, the way he got in everything and the way he's turned the country around, much of the world around, in just a year and a half. And then the response by the evil corrupt forces, because they were artificially keeping us in that state. It's just epic. And then it makes me very, very sad and upset for my fellow countrymen and women that so many of them have bought into the hype and are just acting like idiot babies who buy whatever lies they're told day to day and don't feel insulted when they learn they were lied to. And I've known the Democrat leadership is bad news and corrupt, but just to see them doing it on a mass scale boggles the mind. And then I saw Roger Stone, a few weeks ago in the news, and then when he's here, saying he thinks Trump will probably only run for one term and that it's going to be Pence and Nikki Haley. And he's told people that his goal is to get out in 4 years. Now, the re-election he's running is in case he has to stay in, but it's just basically to lobby the country to get the policies in place that turn it around fully. And then he'll just step back in the primaries, boom, Pence is in, and the country's turned around, and he just says, hope you enjoy your 5% growth rate. That's his goal. And just walks off. And that's a fact. And then it goes into his whole goal of turning it around super quick historically. If he pulls this off, it'll be so historic. It'll be so good for humanity. And it'll also discredit collectivism, globalism, and MSM in an irrevocable way. They're already irrevocably discredited. Even if they derail what he's doing, they're such nasty crooks. And then you compare him to Pelosi and all these Schumer, Maxine Waters.
But these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. They're not going to be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you. This is wrong. This is unconscionable. We can't keep doing this to children.
And I guarantee you, when Trump says he's not going to run for re-election, if he thinks things are good enough to step out and the plan's in place, the bigger plan, that the left go, oh, look, we ran you out. Oh, look, you're a failure during all the success. They're like delusional children, and they just go on like self-perpetuating motion machines off into the distance with their lies. But see, I have the disease of information. I'm actually informed. So when I see these liars, it makes me mad.
All right. We've got all kinds of breaking news today on the War Room. Justice Kennedy to step down. The Democrats are going to change their messaging and go to full-on socialism. The signs of that are in the results from the 14th district election in New York. We'll have all that and more on the other side. This is The War Room. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, it's Wednesday, June 27, 2018. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. My co-host, Roger Stone, joins me in the second hour. Jake Lloyd in studio with me in the third hour. And we'll be joined by Kaylin Robertson. Of course, the spokesperson for Tommy Robinson, who is in jail. He's going to be joining us with information on that, as well as the new documentary that just came out that he was a part of, Farmlands, that kind of ties into kind of what the left is doing in America to incite a civil war. You've got these other little pockets of civil wars going on in other countries as well, like South Africa. And so we're going to talk about that in the third hour. But man, wow, what is the biggest story? You've got Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy announces he's going to be retiring. That happens officially on July 31st. Now, I went back and looked at the Supreme Court decision, and there was actually two Supreme Court decisions yesterday. There were two Supreme Court decisions on Monday. And these are Supreme Court decisions that go narrowly 5-4 in the direction of the Constitution. You look at Trump versus Hawaii, and what you have here is a 5-4 decision, a narrow victory for the United States Constitution, where four of the Supreme Court justices, including Kennedy, voted against the Constitution. What am I talking about? Trump versus Hawaii was essentially saying that a district judge in Hawaii can overrule the president, the duly elected president. Now, that is totally unconstitutional. That is totally against the grain of the American fabric. And you had four Supreme Court justices that are willing to vote against the law of the land. Think about that. Now, Kennedy's about to be gone. Trump's going to put another one in. That decision is now going to be a 6-3 decision every time. And there were other decisions you look at. You look at Second Amendment decisions, it's 5-4. And you're like, oh my God. Four Supreme Court justices vote against the Constitution every time they vote. Oh my. And if Hillary Clinton would have won and she would have gotten to appoint the judge for the wet works that happened to Justice Scalia, we would have lost this country. Constitution would have been dead. Oh, thank God. Donald Trump got elected and then put Neil Gorsuch in. So what will Trump do next? And then what are the, I mean, now Ruth Bader Ginsburg literally has to live forever. They cannot let Trump appoint another Supreme Court justice. So you're going to see basically Ruth Bader Ginsburg in an iron lung, probably voting out of a bed in the hospital at 100 years old because they cannot let her off the Supreme Court. They need that vote to destroy America. So we'll see what happens with that. You've got Trump and Putin set to meet for their first official summit. Details are coming out about that. I don't like John Bolton getting sent to meet with Putin. I don't like that one bit. But that is the man that got the meeting with Putin originally and has set the details of that meeting with Putin. Did you know that today, or was it yesterday? My head is spinning from the news. I think it was yesterday. Peter Strzok had his behind closed doors hearing. It was yesterday. Peter Strzok had his behind closed doors hearing yesterday. Wonder what got revealed and said in that hearing that was closed to the public. Of course, it was President Trump that demanded that be an open door hearing. Again, this is Peter Strzok, the FBI agent that said, we will stop the president. We have an insurance plan. Obama wants to know everything. So what did he tell members of Congress in that secret meeting? What will we learn about those texts sent by Peter Strzok? And how significant is it that the FBI would be in charge of an investigation should President Trump be assassinated, the very FBI that said they wanted to stop him from getting in. Of course, you've got the backdrop of all this with the leftist, the crazy sheeple, the radical leftist on the streets getting more and more violent and rabid and vicious by the day. Kirstjen Nielsen gets shouted out of a restaurant. Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets kicked out of a restaurant. Mitch McConnell and Elaine Chao get their car surrounded. Donald Trump's family has threats against them. Donald Trump Jr. has a white powder sent to his house. Madonna, Johnny Depp, the list goes on. The Hollywood stars calling for violence. The Democrats calling for resistance and harassment. And then the sheeple go out and actually do it. So you've got all that going on. Then you've got the election of a 28-year-old quote-unquote Democrat, really just a socialist communist, who just beat Joe Crowley in New York's 14th Congressional District. I've got an interesting opinion on this that I'm going to give you. So this is big news because I think that there's a sub-story here that no one's talking about. There's a sub-story to the 28-year-old socialist that just won in New York. I'm going to give you the sub-story on that. But let me tell you what's going on and not being talked about behind all of this as I see Mike Adams looking on here, because I actually want to talk to him about this stuff. I went out today and I shot some footage from cell phone towers in Austin, Texas. Now, we haven't even rolled out the full 5G, and I was doing some research into this, and I'm no expert in physics and even sometimes math. So some of this stuff is a little difficult for me to really give you an honest analysis because, quite honestly, I'm struggling to understand some of it, but I know the facts and I know how to take measurements. So I'm going around, and if you live within a quarter mile of a cell tower, you're in what is considered a danger zone for radio waves. That's just according to studies. And I go out with the meter and take the measurements. And I'm going to show you those videos at some point today in the 3-hour broadcast. So we've got all this political stuff happening, and that's the big news. But then in the backdrop, they want to roll out 5G technology, which former FCC director Wheeler even admitted they're not going to do the background research on it. They're going to roll out the 5G technology, which we haven't fully hit yet, and they're not even going to do the research on it to see what type of negative side effects it has. So you might want to know about this stuff. So I'm going out and I'm shooting those videos, and I'm going to put together kind of almost a documentary style news piece on this. I'm going to go shoot it at universities. I'm going to go shoot it at hospitals. I'm shooting it in residential areas. I'm going to show you what it's like in the home. And, you know, you might be shocked. You might be shocked. And so I'm going to talk about all that today. But, you know, it's so crazy around here. People are working double time. I mean, just yesterday we had the crew here. Some of the crew was here for 12 hours. They did the Alex Jones show. They stuck around, edited the Alex Jones show. And then Alex did over an hour of live broadcast afterwards. Okay, so we really want your support so we can expand at InfoWars.com. And InfoWarsStore.com is the method for that expansion. You go to InfoWarsStore.com. Try out the Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. Why not use fluoride-free toothpaste that's also injected with the colloidal silver? So it's like double as good for you as regular toothpaste, and it supports InfoWars. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, it's 50% off. 50% off Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. Why aren't you shopping with the good guy yet? Get your toothpaste from InfoWarsStore.com. No longer do you want to use fluoride in your toothpaste. Get it out. Use Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste from InfoWarsStore.com. It's 50% off. That's how you support us.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Last night at about 7 o'clock, myself and Alex Jones were doing a live special broadcast And it's because I had just gotten off of the war room and I saw the video of Elaine Chao confronting the protesters that were surrounding Mitch McConnell's car. And I saw Alex was live and I broke in and I was like, hey, Alex, have you seen the newest with Elaine Chao and Mitch McConnell? And he'd been doing a live broadcast, so he hadn't seen it. So he gave the directive to shut down the current live broadcast and start a new one. And we went on for about 40 minutes after that. And we were talking about a moment in time where this is the moment where the quote-unquote cuckservatives are going to kind of have their awakening. Because everyone has a survival instinct. And so when you deal with this stuff and you see them threatening you and your lifestyle, that's when you start to kick into gear. And these Washington, D.C. elites have always felt that their lifestyle is perfectly fine. No need to worry. The media has our back. The president's PC will be just fine. And then Trump comes along. He's a threat to both sides. The Republicans kind of, they're kind of irked. Democrats obviously hate him. And then the Republicans kind of fall into place and they just kind of go along with everything. Trump doesn't really bother them too much. Democrats in a total panic, now calling for violence. But then even the Republican establishment now has to deal with this stuff. I mean, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, I mean, those are about as establishment Republican as you get. And they're getting harassed. And so they're like, well, I have a survival instinct. I don't want these radicals coming after me. And so then what happens last night? The GOP releases a new campaign ad, essentially, which let's go ahead and have clip six ready to go here, guys. This is truly powerful stuff. Now, again, no brag, just fact. InfoWars told you the left was coming unhinged first. I have been using the phrase unhinged to describe the left on this broadcast for months now. So Darren McBreen has put together, I've heard Alex Jones go on air and literally give the command while on air, because this is how we work around here. It's like a constant war room around here, honestly. Alex Jones says, Darren McBreen put together a clip of all the unhinged leftist behavior, calling for violence, all the video clips, late night TV, Democrat events, bam. Okay, boom. We've probably done that five different times. I don't know. Darren McBreen's sitting right across the thing. He probably knows. He's probably put together five of those videos, just unhinged leftists. Oh, but then what happened? Even the establishment Washington, D.C. Republicans started to realize that they were in the crosshairs. They were not above this. And now the GOP releases this powerful campaign ad.
A few years ago, ideas that we talked about were thought to be fringe ideas, radical ideas, extremist ideas. Those ideas are now mainstream.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
One way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy, so please bring on the recession.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
This is why yesterday, to conclude the war room, I played the Mad Maxine Waters Fury Road video. Because we knew who Maxine Waters was. We tried to tell you that woman was a deranged radical. I mean, this is tomorrow's news today. And that's why in the middle of this storm, I'm going out and shooting report from cell phone towers, because that's next year's news today. They're about to roll out the 5G technology, which now they're going to have to build even more cell towers because the radio waves are shorter in wavelength. So they're quote unquote thicker and they don't travel as far. And I'm going to get to this later, but I'm telling you, this whole cell phone tower 5G thing, are human beings evolving? Are we adapting to this? Or is this stuff really zapping us and giving us cancer? But that's another story that I'll cover later. Now, I want to get into something that I think is going on here with the 28-year-old Democrat socialist in New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, we've reached out to Cortez's campaign to see if she'd do an interview. So part of me doesn't even want to say this because I would like to get them on as a guest, but I feel the odds of that are already low to begin with. So I'm just going to come right out with it now. Now, I've always said, I will tell you when I'm going into conspiratorial theories. So what I'm about to talk about is a quote-unquote conspiracy theory. I looked at Joe Crowley's last three election results, and this is a guy who dominates at the ballot box. Has not even had a competition in 6 years, and you can go back even further. Why and how did Crowley all of a sudden get unseated by this 28-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Well, I have a conspiracy theory here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you know me. I don't trust electronic voting machines, period. Don't trust them. And in a local election like this, it's a lot easier to use the electronic voter machine to rig an outcome, because there's a lot less electronic voting machines needed. It's a lot more smaller area to have to do it in instead of a, you know, national scope. I think, here's my conspiracy theory, they rigged this election for the 28-year-old Alexandria Cortez to win. I don't even think she knows about this, to be honest with you. And I think this is the perfect time for the Democrats now to introduce their new message. They realize the hate Trump message isn't working. They realize that the hate-mongering, race-baiting message isn't working, so they're now getting ready to reveal their new message, socialism. And they're going to use the pretty Alexandria Cortez to be the shifting point of the Democrat narrative, which is now going to move to total socialist messaging. So get ready for that. That's my theory. I don't know how you explain it, but that's how I just did.
Infowars.com/show. Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
There's an interesting paradox happening right now. Called the double standard, and the left is drowning in them. And the latest example is this outrage with, how do you phrase this? So Sarah Sanders goes to the Red Hen, her and her family get kicked out, and this is a heroic event to the left. They celebrate this. And they make jokes about it on television. But there's a paradox to this. Now, before I tell you the paradox and the irony here, and it just shows you the mass hysteria that we're dealing with, let's roll a video clip from Stephen Colbert and Trevor Nobody Knows Ya of them making fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting kicked out of the Red Hen.
A Virginia restaurant refused service to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. Stephanie Wilkinson, owner of the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, told the Washington
Post. Now pause it. You hear that crowd? You hear the crowd? They're cheering it on, right? Now this is important. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets kicked out of a restaurant. Crowd cheers. Crowds applaud. I'm imagining that's a left-leaning crowd. Why else would they be applauding that? So just bear that in mind. They are applauding this. They are cheering this. Red Hen is the hero for kicking Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family out of the restaurant. Their heroics are applauded when they talk about this. Let's roll on.
She works for a, quote, inhumane and unethical administration.
When you think about it, asking Sanders to leave was probably the nicest thing they could have done. The waiter was probably like, listen, if I'm being honest, all the chefs are jizzing in your food right now. So...
Hucka Sanders was kicked out of the Red Hen restaurant in Virginia on moral grounds. Now, look, you applaud all you want. Applaud all
Again,
you want.
They're
my
applauding.
Heart really goes out to her. She was separated from her appetizer. She doesn't even know where it is right now. What if it's getting cold?
And there's a lot of debate going on about whether it's going too far. You know, but if you ask Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters, this isn't going far enough.
Maxine Waters told her supporters to confront other Trump cabinet officials.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Damn, I love how... Maxine Waters has gone from formal impeachment request to we need to jump this fool and his boys wherever we see them. Gas stations, anywhere. They're going to come correct. We're going to jump them and tell them how we feel.
Okay, so there you go. It's a big joke. It's celebrated. Sarah Sanders and her family get kicked out of the restaurant. Oh, boy. They literally cheer it. It's the greatest thing ever. Now... You know, we've got this thing called a memory, and we like to use it. Let's rewind the clocks back a month. What happened at a Starbucks restaurant? There were two individuals at the Starbucks loitering. They were sitting in the Starbucks, and they were not paying customers. So... Starbucks asked them to leave because they weren't paying customers. They refused to leave. Police had to come and remove them from the restaurant, which they refused to leave, that they didn't shop at, Starbucks, which kicked them out. Now, what ensued after that event? Well, there was national outrage. The left was outraged that Starbucks would dare kick anyone out of the restaurant. How dare they? There was tolerance meetings, sensitivity training. They shut down stores nationwide so they could train their staff on how to appropriately not kick anyone out of their establishment. New policies were created. You couldn't kick people out of Starbucks anymore. So, two individuals get asked to leave Starbucks. They refuse. Police have to remove them from the scene. Left is outraged that a restaurant owner would dare ask people to leave a restaurant. Such insanity ensues. There has to be sensitivity training and new policies introduced. Okay, so that happened. Let's flash forward a month to present day. Sarah Sanders and her family go to a restaurant. They are paying customers. And they'd like to eat some food and pay for the service. The restaurant decides they are not allowed to do that, and they are asked to leave the restaurant. Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family obliges and leaves the restaurant. What is the aftermath? The left celebrates. The Red Hen is heroic. There's no policy changes. There's no sensitivity training. Just praise. What am I missing here?
Am I missing something? Starbucks kicked someone out of the restaurant. Bad. Red Hen kicked someone out of the restaurant. Good. I'm just not getting it. I'm not. It just doesn't add up to me. Except when you plug into the formula, the left is allowed to discriminate when it wants to. But if you, a conservative, aren't totally tolerant of everything and anything and anything or everything else, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're intolerant, you're insensitive. But if a liberal or a left-leaning individual wants to discriminate against you because you're a white person or because you're affiliated with Trump, well, that's okay. Perfectly fine. Ah, now you're getting into the psychology of an average leftist. They believe they're entitled to discriminate. They believe they're entitled to violence. Don't believe me? We've got a clip here of Maxine Waters. We've got the time. Fire clip 11, Maxine accusing Trump of inciting violence. Excuse me, clip 8. We've got the time. Fire it.
And as to the chairman's comments about civility and about what he would do if he owned a restaurant, let me just say that I think every reasonable person has concluded that the president of the United States of America has advocated violence, he has been divisive, and he has been the one that has caused what we see happening today, where people are trying to push back on his policies and where people are trying to have peaceful...
First of all, it's a national embarrassment that this woman is still in Congress. That is embarrassing to our nation. Second of all, there you go. She's saying Trump is inciting violence. Trump is the one creating everything we're seeing today. What is she talking about? All the violence against conservatives? Sarah Huckabee Sanders getting kicked out of restaurants? What is she talking about? She's the one that literally calls for violence and then 2 days later says that Trump is bad for calling for violence. The left is the one that says you can't kick someone out of a restaurant. We need to have sensitivity training. Then the left kicks someone out of the restaurant because of their own discrimination, and that's perfectly fine. This is the psychology right now of the average leftist. They believe they're entitled to discriminate. They believe they're entitled to violence. But the minute you do something they think is discriminatory or violent, they shout you down, they call you a bigot, they call you a racist, and they tell you you're the one to blame. This is insane. This is literally insane. So what next? Guess we'll wait.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, this Friday is the last Friday of the month, and you know what that means here on the War Room. That means we have our Veterans Call-In Show. Every Friday, every final Friday of the month, we dedicate all 3 hours of the War Room to veterans to call in to this show, and we have a veteran join us as a co-host this Friday. It's going to be Tyler Nixon and myself taking your calls for all 3 hours. That is the last Friday of every month right here on the War Room, the Veterans Call-In Show, a voice for our veterans. You know, we debuted this last month with Craig Sawyer, and it just went incredibly well. So I am looking forward to taking your calls this Friday as part of the Veterans Call-In Show with Tyler Nixon. All right. Where do I want to go here in the final segment of this hour? You know, just in some... I don't even know what you want to call this news. There was a Pentagon briefing on Afghanistan today. Guys, if you want to zoom in on this with the doc cam here. Guess how many journalists showed up to the Pentagon briefing on Afghanistan today? 4. You can see the image there on the doc cam from the meeting room. A line of chairs, probably at least 60 chairs in that room for journalists to be at this press briefing on Afghanistan. 4 journalists show up. Now, Afghanistan is a country where we have troops deployed, and we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars over there that we have invested. And yet there's only enough national interest to put 4 journalists at the Pentagon hearing. What does that tell you? Tells me there is no national interest, and we need to get the hell out of Afghanistan. But of course, what were we doing there to begin with? I don't know. Maybe there's some ancient ruins in those mountains. Maybe there's some poppy fields that fuel big pharma. I don't know. I don't know. Radical terrorism. Radical Islamic terrorism. And I was thinking about the quote unquote Muslim ban. And this is what's so irritating to me. Now, let me be clear. I don't believe the official narrative of September 11th. In fact, maybe we should have the Philip Mudd clip in the holster for this segment and we can go to it, where Philip Mudd from the CIA gets asked about the third tower that fell at free fall speeds on 9/11. And he goes, "If you're not going to talk to me about 2 planes hitting 2 towers, then I just don't know what to say." It's like, well, actually, there were 4 planes apparently that day, and there were 3 buildings, 3 World Trade Center buildings. But you're just going to act like that didn't happen because you're with the CIA. What? But I'm digressing. We started a quote unquote war on terror because we were told by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the FBI, by the mainstream media, that radical Islamic terrorists hated our way of life and wanted to kill us and blow up our buildings and destroy our way of life. We were sold that. We were sold that to the tune of trillions of dollars. Since we've destroyed Libya, we've destroyed Iraq, we were attempting to destroy Syria. It looks like maybe that's changing and there's some 60 chess going on there, but we're still getting involved in Syria. I don't like it. What about Afghanistan? Went into there. Why? What was the justification for all of this money? What was the justification for all these wars? September 11th, we got attacked by radical Islamic terrorists. Now, here we are, almost 20 years later, not quite, and we haven't stopped this war. We haven't defeated radical Islamic terrorism, as far as I have been told. I've never heard any politician or anybody make an official statement that radical Islam still doesn't want to destroy our way of life here in the West, which is, again, what we were told, why we spent trillions of dollars in the Middle East, why we destroyed Libya, why we destroyed Iraq, part of these wars. So, technically, are we not still at war with radical Islam? According to George Bush, Obama never stopped that. He expanded it. So, Trump signs a travel ban, which was actually, I looked into it, it was less than Obama's travel ban. Obama's travel ban actually had more countries on it. Trump's had less. And then they call it a Muslim ban, even though 93% of the world's Muslims aren't banned. It's just from these 5 countries now. It used to be 7. Okay. Well, we bombed these countries. ISIS is in these countries. Terrorists are in these countries. And terrorists can also easily slip into these countries because of lackadaisical borders and then get into the United States undercover. So Trump says, we're going to have this travel ban. And if you just look at the history of this, it makes sense, right? We're at war with radical Islamic terror that's coming out of the Middle East. They attacked us on 9/11. They attack all over Europe. So we need to protect this country. And then what happens? They call it a Muslim ban and they say it's racist because it's a Muslim ban. And even though Muslim's not a race, somehow it's racist. Okay. Again, I ask Kamala Harris, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, Chuck Schumer. I ask all these people. I'm asking, did the war on terror, on radical Islamic terror end? Am I missing something here? Did somebody sign a bill? Was there an announcement? Was there a peace treaty? Did we stop the war on terror? Did we retract our statements that said radical Islamic terror was trying to kill us and end our way of life? I'm just not getting it. Seriously. So what happened on September 11, 2001? If it wasn't radical Islamic terror, which is what we were told, which is what we spent trillions of dollars to fight in the Middle East to destroy, we destroyed countries with it, never stopped as far as I'm concerned. We haven't stopped spending the money. We haven't stopped the wars. So then why is Trump crazy for the travel ban? Why are they so upset? Let's say it was a Muslim ban. Let's actually go with that false narrative and let's say this is a Muslim ban. You told me Muslims wanted to kill me. You told me Muslims hijacked 4 planes and ran them into the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers. That's what you told me. You are the one, the mainstream media, not just the Republicans, the Democrats too. You all told me that radical Islamic terrorists wanted to kill me and my family because they hate my way of life. So if Trump signs a Muslim ban because we're told Muslims want to kill us, what the hell is going on then? So wait a second. Are you saying, I'm just trying to figure this out, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell that call this Muslim ban, which it's not, racist? What happened on 9/11? Was it radical Islamic terror or not? Were we lied to about that or not? I'm just trying to figure this out. You know, I got this thing, it's called a memory, and I have this thing called logic and reasoning and critical thinking, and I'm just trying to figure this out. So is radical Islamic terrorists trying to kill us, and that's why we spent trillions of dollars in the Middle East? Or was that not true, and Muslims don't hate us, and they're not bad and terrorists and not trying to kill us, so we shouldn't be spending that money, and the Muslim ban is racist? Or will you just say anything that comes out of your mouth and you don't even think about it because you think the American people are so stupid? So that's where my head is at. Is it a Muslim ban? No. Are we fighting radical Islamic terror? Well, according to the government, since George Bush and September 11th, yes. They've never issued a retraction, a statement, an end to the war on terror. They've never said radical Islam is not trying to kill us. They just act like it's not happening, even though they're the ones that reported it first. It's all insane. And this is why people are so confused. Because if you try to think critically, if you try to reason your way through this, you always hit a dead end and you realize there is no logic, there is no reasoning, it's all madness, and then they just go crazy. So this is what we're dealing with in America. So what's the deal? I'm just asking Kamala Harris. I'm just looking for a comment from Kamala Harris. Are we still at war with radical Islam, or what happened on 9/11, or are Muslims good people and that's why you want them all in this country? I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't know.
War Room. Infowars.com/show. Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, today I went out here in Austin, and I have different series of what I'm going to do here. I did my residential shooting today. Then I'm going to do camera shooting measuring the RF frequencies at the universities here. Then I'm going to do it at hospitals. And then I'm going to show you what it's like in your house. And then I'm going to go out into the middle of nowhere and show you what it's like without any RF frequency or that I picked up on my meter here. So let me just show you. This is just a couple of the clips. There's dozens of these that I'm compiling and documenting and putting it all together, though, just so I can get an idea of the range, the radius that these cell phone towers put out. And how, I mean, basically what I discovered driving around today is you basically cannot escape this unless you get out. If you're in a metropolitan area in a big city, you cannot escape the dangerous radio waves. Just take a quick look at some of these clips that I recorded today. So once again, here I am in the middle of a neighborhood apartment complex here, as you can see. And there's a cell tower. And if you're here, I mean, you're living at 4. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's sometimes peaking at 6, but you're living at 4. And you can't turn off your Wi-Fi or anything to deal with that. Do they issue warnings about this? Do they tell you? Should people pay less for this property? I mean, I don't know. I'm just telling you. All right, so now I'm at least a tenth of a mile away from cell tower 2. You can see it there in the distance. And your average peak right now is honestly at about a 5. Maybe for peak, you can see it's peaked at 6. But you're living in, I mean, you can see this thing is staying in the 4s. So you're seeing what you're living with here. And this is just, I mean, you can look at this. This is a brand new housing complex, a beautiful complex here in South Austin. But as you can see, houses everywhere. I mean, even when you're not even facing the cell tower to pick up the dangerous waves, you're still getting in the 3s on average. And as you can see, look, there's even another cell tower right over the distance there. So you're basically in between. You're closer to this one, as you can see. You're basically in between these two cell towers in all this apartment complex. And I mean, you're probably going from right here living in about a 4 to going to right over there living in about a 4 because you got a cell tower over there. So this is cell tower site 2 here in South Austin. We're dealing with residential communities, hundreds of people, perhaps even thousands. I mean, honestly, if you really want to aggregate this and you talk about all the cell phone towers and all the residential communities, you're talking about millions of people. And they're living in peaking at 4.5, you know, living in the 3s. That's unhealthy. And you even had the old FCC Wheeler come out and say, yeah, we're not going to investigate this. We're just going to roll it out. It's going to be worth billions of dollars. We're just rolling it out. Well, this is what you're rolling out right here. People living in danger zones, according to what they say is dangerous, at least, all the time. And you can't even do anything about it because you got a cell tower right there. Now here, I also tested it around the office. We're pretty much living same deal, about 1 volt per square meter here. They say 0.1 volt per square meter is dangerous enough to affect the human biology. That's 0.10. Here at the office, we're living with a one. If you're under a wireless hub, you're getting a peak 6. But here's the key, folks. I mean, if you're within about 4 feet of your wireless hub, or you put your cell phone right up to your face, you're getting jacked. I mean, you are getting the peak. If you're about within 100 yards of a cell phone tower, you're getting the peak. It's like they don't even tell you this. And the FCC in 2016, Wheeler, the head, said, no, we're not doing any investigation. All right, just to show you what I was talking about in the last short segment, which some of our radio audience may not have picked up because those are local segments that run ads. I'm sitting here in studio right now of the War Room, and my peak is about, well, my peak is about 3.5 for the RF coming in, the radio waves. And we're averaging about 2.5 here. All right. That's in the War Room studio here. We keep peaking, though. My peak keeps going up. Now, what's about to happen is Rob Dew's going to give me a phone call. Here, guys, give me the doc cam again and put it right here and watch this thing spike as soon as my phone call comes in. It's coming in right now. There it goes. There it goes. The phone call is coming in right now. There it goes. See that? Stays above 6 volts. Keep calling me. It's going off, guys. I have my phone on black so that they can't see Dew's personal number here. So I'm getting a phone call right now. My phone is not lighting up because I don't want people to see our news director, Rob Dew's private number here. But there's the peak right there. It's consistent at 6. Oh, you want me to answer it? All right, well, I can answer it. All right, hold on. You guys got the dot cam? I'm trying to make sure that they can see the screen here. There you go. All right, I'm going to answer now. So now I'm live on the phone. Look at that. It doesn't ever go under 6. You're getting blasted when you're on your cell phone, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Don't put this thing up next to your head. Now, I'm hoping that these things have just gotten worse over time. I'm going to shut this off now as we're about to bring Roger Stone in. Thank you, Dew. I'm hoping that these things have gotten worse over time because I remember being in high school and I would literally sit on my, I'd literally fall asleep with my cell phone, the old flip phone, on the phone with my girlfriend for like hours, and I'd like fall asleep on it sometimes. So I'm hoping this is worse, or, you know, who knows what's going on in my brain. But who I forget who it was. There was some journalist. I can't remember her name. She had a brain tumor the size of a walnut in her behind her right ear, and the brain tumor the size of a peanut in her left ear. And she figured that's because she was normally using the phone on her right ear and not the left ear. I forget who that woman's name was. Maybe the crew or someone can figure that out. But look, I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. I'm just raising a real issue. I mean, I'm telling you, when I went through my home in this, at the office, I don't know, maybe there's nothing I can do about the electro box I'm sitting in. But when I went in my home with this and I saw that it was even tough for me just to get to a 0.5, which is still considered dangerous, I mean, I'm figuring out what I need to do. I'm looking at these boxers. In fact, I won't even do it plug. We should sell these boxers that protect your genitalia from these waves. I'm not even kidding. So this is the kind of stuff I'm looking to do. I'm going to shut off my wireless router at night. I'm not sleeping with my cell phone next to my bed anymore. I'm going to go back to the old style alarm. So, I mean, but that's what did it for me. I already knew all this. Taking this meter through my house, it's like that's what set in for me. Going to these large apartment complexes where probably hundreds of people live and seeing them living in a four volts per meter, it's just crazy. Now, let's go on and bring Roger Stone on now. Roger, all kinds of news breaking. Honestly, you've got Anthony Kennedy retiring. You've got the Democrat socialist beating the Democrat powerhouse, Joe Crowley. You've got Trump and Putin scheduling a meeting. You've got Peter Stroke having a hearing behind closed doors. Roger Stone, where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, let me address the question you raised about the cell phones. My colleague, Lee Atwater, who died of a very aggressive brain tumor, had a ring of brain tumors around his right ear that we believed was from his incessant use of a cell phone. So I think there's a lot to what you say. There seems to be a disproportionate number of political consultants, both Democrat and Republican, who have had this problem, and I don't think they are safe. So I'm glad you raised it. I think you're not being an alarmist. You're not being a conspiracy theorist. I think that you are speaking the truth on this particular issue.
Well, it's amazing, Roger. I think a lot of people, like you have friends or family that have been infected by this.
Add to that list of news events today, in an extraordinarily eventful day, the fact that Devin Nunes is now demanding of the Justice Department and the FBI information about informants who may have been used to infiltrate the Trump campaign in the earliest days. There's a problem with the timeline that the Obama Justice Department has put forward. It appears that they begin trying to use human assets, spies, to infiltrate the Trump campaign earlier than they have previously admitted. I'm particularly happy about this because it's going to get to the bottom of the Henry Greenberg question, a story that we broke here at InfoWars. And we'll get to the bottom specifically of what kind of visa Mr. Greenberg was in the country on in 2016. And I believe today, given that he is a convicted violent felon with a 10-year prison sentence behind him in Russia, it's hard to believe that there's any visa that he can be in the country on other than one sponsored by the FBI, a so-called informant's visa, where they argue that, yes, he's a criminal, but his presence in the United States serves some public benefit.
So what is the angle here? Do you think because they colluded with Russia to make this dossier, they're trying to send in their operatives so that they can put that narrative on the Trump associates and then have the media spin it and ignore all their Russian collusion? I mean, do you think that's what's behind this?
Well, I think the dossier is meant to be the coup de grace, the crown jewel of this strategy. They would have us believe that Steph Halper and others are infiltrating the Trump campaign to look for evidence of Russian collusion. In fact, they're trying to plant faux evidence of Russian collusion as part of what Peter Stroke calls the insurance policy in case Donald Trump got elected. There's a terrific piece in The American Thinker that goes through the bureaucratic stages of a preliminary investigation and a formal investigation. And the date by which you could use human intelligence is later than these initial contacts, which is, therefore, it appears that they have yet again been caught in their own efforts to hijack the 2016 election. And the dossier is just the culmination of it, the crown jewel, if you will.
And it's incredible to me when you see people like Eric Swalwell glad-handing Peter Stroke for going and doing the testimony when Peter Stroke is the guy with all the evidence trying to meddle in the election. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's Robert Mueller who didn't show up in court. The Russians showed up in court. Mueller didn't. Eric Swalwell says Russian collusion. Peter Stroke actually tries to meddle in the election. We have the text. Obama wanted to know about it. And he shows up in court and he's the hero, according to Swalwell. I mean, honestly, I just don't understand how anyone buys this anymore, but let alone just the average people, Roger. But I mean, congressmen, I mean, people actually in Congress that believe this. I mean, are they that phony?
Well, you've still got mainstream media outlets printing the narrative and leaving out these key arguments, or you have people like Brian Stelter just dismissing them as Sean Hannity style conspiracy theory. So as long as you have that going on, there's going to be dueling narratives. Thank God for InfoWars. Thank God that we are here to tell the truth and tell people what actually happened.
And that's why we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com, folks. Big specials at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. That's how we stay alive.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Roger, I have have a theory. I'd like to get your take on this. I won't go into my conspiracy theory. I'll spare you that. But I believe that what the victory for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the 28-year-old Democrat that just defeated the Democrat powerhouse, Joe Crowley, who'd won every previous election by a landslide, somehow magically loses this one. You could tell by the response of Cortez, she didn't expect this either. But Roger, my theory here is that this is now the Democrats' turning point. They've understood now that the message of hate Trump, the message of racism, the message of xenophobia, all of this stuff, really a message just of hate overall, has failed them. The blue wave is not happening. They've realized this now. That's why we have the red wave behind me. And so I think that this victory for the 28-year-old Democrat in New York is really them turning the tide here for their narrative and for their messaging. I think they're now going to go with the message of socialism. I think they're now going to go with the message of more handouts, bigger government, more welfare, socialism style. You even heard Hillary Clinton say she thinks that being a capitalist hurt her as far as the Democrat voting in the last election. So my theory is the Democrats are about to introduce a new message, and that's going to be full-on socialism. They have nowhere else to go. That's where I see this going. I think the election or the victory for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez represents that. But Roger Stone, what's your expert take on this?
Well, I think it shows you the extent to which the Democratic Party is now the captive of its extreme left. Joe Crowley is a New York machine Democrat who represents a solidly middle class, working class district in Queens, New York. The idea that he can be upset by a socialist shows you what is left of the Democratic Party and how it has become radicalized. They have no message for November, and it remains their biggest single problem. Now, part of their messaging, I suspect, was produced today. As you know, Owen, we have a very good track record here at InfoWars of predicting the news, sometimes a day in advance, sometimes a little earlier. And I predicted the retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy last year. The reason that I was incorrect was because we didn't realize that the president's appointment of Neil Gorsuch, who once clerked for Kennedy, created a camaraderie, which evidently Kennedy enjoyed on the court, and therefore he decided to stay around longer. It was still clear that he was next to go, but it was not nearly as imminent as I had originally reported it. Now, I clarified it with that information regarding the Gorsuch appointment. The fact that Kennedy and Gorsuch are not ideological twins is not the point. They are colleagues and very good friends, and I think it gave Kennedy a reason to stick around for a while. So the liberals, who are already suffering from Trump derangement syndrome big time, will go into high drive now, because the election, in their view, will become about the Supreme Court. That's fine with me.
Well, and I look at the most recent results from the Supreme Court decisions where you're going 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, and what you have. I mean, when you read this stuff, Roger, you're talking about four votes from the Supreme Court that vote against the Constitution. I mean, that's literally what they're doing. When the Supreme Court votes for a measly unelected judge in Hawaii to overrule the president of the United States, that's unconstitutional. And so I look at all these and I'm like, wow, I hope that Trump puts somebody in there that's at least going to vote with the Constitution moving forward. And I think that that's a fair expectation.
Well, what we don't know is whether the president feels conscripted by the list of potential Supreme Court judges put forward by the Federalist Society back during the 2016 campaign. We know that he felt constrained by it in his first appointment, and he came up with an excellent nominee. What disappoints me, of course, is the fact that Judge Andrew Napolitano is not on that list, but he would make an excellent Supreme Court nominee, and I'm still hoping for that result.
Well, he did quote Andrew Napolitano on Twitter the other day when it came to the shady Obama administration, the illegal spying, and the collusion when it comes to meddling in the 2016 election. So maybe that was kind of a sign of things to come, Roger, but it's going to be interesting to find out. You know, we're talking about a Supreme Court now that if Hillary Clinton would have been elected, would have voted to basically end the Constitution. It just would have become a ceremonious document. Now we're actually going to maintain at least some semblance of the Constitution being law of the land with Trump appointing another Supreme Court general that'll be pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment, pro Constitution. So that's good news. Folks, you know, we have to deal with a lot of attacks here. Roger has to deal with a lot of attacks. You've got the Roger Stone Defense Fund. You've got now InfoWars Legal Defense Funds as well. And of course, the only way we can even get all of this out there to you is with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. When I'm doing extra reports like yesterday when I went live with Alex for almost an hour after the show, I did numerous reports from the scene today. My voice gets a little scratchy, and so I go to the Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle Spray right here with the colloidal silver and the iodine built into that, and I give that a little spray on my throat, Roger. It clears it right up. I don't know if you've ever tried to use this for a scratchy throat. 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, Roger. Very effective. I'm going to take a hit right now.
Well, I have not tried it for that purpose, although I do like the Super Blue line of products. I'm going to have to give it a try. As you can see, I'm beginning to be a bit raspy myself. I'm in New Orleans, where the temperature makes Austin look balmy, and I have been giving speeches and interviews all day. But Owen raises a larger and more important point. We rely entirely on listeners and viewers to fuel the revolution here at InfoWars. There is a leftist cabal, a globalist plot to close us down. We're not exaggerating. These lawsuits against InfoWars are ubiquitous. Some of them are more serious than others, but all of them are bogus. And all of them will be expensive to defeat. And it's a two-pronged strategy. Smear Alex Jones and InfoWars or Roger Stone in headlines, then use those headlines as the rationale for taking us off of YouTube, off of Facebook, and so on. So please give generously, either by buying an InfoWars product or making a contribution to the InfoWars Legal Defense Fund, or there you have the information for the StoneDefenseFund.com, StoneDefenseFund.com. Between the Mueller investigation, the lawsuit by the DNC, the lawsuit by the Obama-backed front in Washington, D.C., the House and Senate Intelligence Committee investigations, my legal fees threatened to bankrupt me, and I've had to steal from my grandchildren's college education fund. So if you can help, please do.
InfoWars.com/show. Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back. As the man said, this is The War Room, and I'm your co-host, Roger Stone. Oh, and let's go back to that news rundown that you gave us, because today has been a momentous day in terms of breaking news.
Well, actually, Roger, and you brought one up, too, that I forgot, and then Rob Dew came in here and gave me another one. So let's just, again, go through this quick stack, because it's all important. And Roger's expertise is going to help us gauge the most important one. So as you mentioned, you've got Devin Nunes demanding some transparency, as well as Matt Gaetz from the FBI and the DOJ as far as when the spying started and how it started. They refused to give the documents on that. You've got the 28-year-old Democrat socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. who defeated the Democrat powerhouse Joe Crowley in New York's 14th district last night. You've got Anthony Kennedy, the Supreme Court justice that always voted left-leaning. He has now announced his retirement. That becomes effective July 31st. John Bolton, who I'm not a fan of, goes to Russia, meets with Putin, and they announce they now have the details of the first meeting between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. We had yesterday Peter Strzok do a behind-closed-doors hearing. President Trump demanded that that be open-door hearing. That didn't happen. And then you have the House rejecting the Goodlatte-Ryan-Denham amnesty bill that would have turned 1.8 million non-citizens into citizens with voting rights overnight. That got rejected by the House. So there is the rundown, Roger Stone. What do you think is the biggest? What do you think are the side stories? And where do you see things going from here?
Well, what disappoints me, Owen, is the fact that we have not had any update on the fact that Rod Rosenstein turned over some documents to the House committee regarding the surveillance on the Trump campaign and the use of FISA warrants, but certainly not all. The president made it very clear that he was unhappy about this last week. But the upshot is what? When are we going to resolve this matter? Seems to me that Mr. Rosenstein is obstructing justice. The House of Representatives is or the Congress, I should say, is a co-equal branch of government. Nowhere does it say that the executive branch has the right to keep secrets from the Congress that has oversight responsibility. If you go back and look at Christopher Wray, the FBI director's speech, both his statement before Congress and his public statement the day before, essentially the same document, he gives lip service again to oversight, how we respect oversight. But in fact, the Sessions Justice Department has been stonewalling the question of surveillance of the Trump campaign. That's because it is the capstone of their effort to take down Trump and use the authority and capability of government itself, of the state, to do so. This, of course, is an abuse of power that would be far, far greater than Watergate.
Well, but let's get more basic about this, Roger. The FBI and the CIA are not constitutional. They don't exist without the support of Congress. Congress created these branches of government, well, not even branches of government, these bureaucracies, and they've gotten all this power. Why does it, this is what frustrates me, Roger. Basically, it's like, why does the FBI think it's above the rest of government? Why does the FBI think it's above the presidency? Nobody elects the FBI. The FBI can be abolished by Congress overnight. Perfectly legal, perfectly right. So where did we get this weird status quo that the FBI and the CIA are now the powers that be? They're above the executive branch. They're above everything. No, they're not. Robert Mueller's not above anybody. Peter Strzok with the FBI isn't above anybody. Rod Rosenstein can't deny documents to the Congress that is responsible for their very existence. I mean, do people not even understand this basic concept, Roger?
Well, we have seen in the last several decades, really the last 40 years, an expansion of executive power and relinquishing the power by the Congress. So they have had it their way. The deep state has had enormous influence in the Obama administration. When I say the deep state, I mean the intelligence agencies and the executive branch agencies connecting intelligence with the Pentagon. This was also true under George W. Bush. It was also true under Bill Clinton. And therefore, they're experiencing severe power loss at this point. It's not like the Congress is asserting itself. Thank God for Devin Nunes and Matt Gaetz, and Jim Jordan, and Trey Gowdy, and a handful of others. You notice that that the leadership has had to be dragged kicking and screaming into this fight, which is, to say the least, disappointing.
Well, and I'm glad that you went there. Segues perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next. We had the video clip yesterday, Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elaine Chao, who is a member of the Trump administration, the transportation director, I believe. And then, of course, Mitch McConnell, the speaker, the majority leader in the House. So you have the video of them getting harassed in their car. Kirstjen Nielsen gets harassed at a restaurant. Milo Yiannopoulos gets harassed at a restaurant. Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets kicked out of a restaurant. Pamela Bondi gets harassed when she goes out. So you've got this new trend of harassing people in public. Maxine Waters calls for it. And it seems like now, Roger, the very Republicans that have been flat-footed, the very Republicans who have had their huevos chopped off, now all of a sudden are starting to grow a spine again because they have a survival instinct still. So do you think this Republican establishment kicking and screaming to get along with Trump and to bring forward the Trump agenda, do you think that maybe that's kind of waning now as the left has gone totally unhinged? Now they're kind of gearing up more to the side of Trump because they're done catering to the left?
Well, it was only a week ago, though, that Senator Robert Corker of Tennessee said that the Republican Party's under some cult-like spell because of the popularity of Donald Trump. No, Senator, we have 4% economic growth. We have a conservative on the Supreme Court. The president has cut job-killing regulations to the bone. We are renegotiating our trade agreements. We withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords. Trump is not only keeping faith with the American people, but it's very popular. I guarantee you this, Owen. In the state of Tennessee, President Donald Trump is far more popular, both among Republicans and all voters, than Senator Robert Corker. Of that, I am certain.
Well, and I think that got proven when they booed Corker at the rally that Trump had, which, I mean, this guy's energy, Roger, is I don't, maybe it's contagious. Maybe it really is contagious. This guy is doing meeting after meeting after meeting. He even invites the media into some of these meetings. Then he hops on Air Force One and goes and does a rally in South Carolina. He hops on Air Force One and does a rally in Wisconsin. He hops on Air Force One. He goes and does a rally in Tennessee. Is this the most energetic, not just president, I mean, maybe even human you've ever seen?
Well, and frankly, the campaign stop in South Carolina for Henry McMaster is going to be very telling. McMaster was among the very earliest and most strong, stalwart Trump supporters. He failed to get 50% in the first round, despite the fact that he became governor when Nikki Haley went to the UN. And he's a very good man. But the president's really put it on the line for McMaster. And we're going to see what the presidential endorsement is really worth, because the president's making no bones about it. He is all out for Henry McMaster. And McMaster, again, a very good man, a friend of mine, and I think will win. But this will be an excellent time because the president is at the peak of his strength.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
With us for another segment. Roger, we've put together a little clip here of one of our favorite deep state operatives, one of the phoniest men of all time. That is Philip Mudd. Roger, check out our compilation of the big, fat, phony deep state operative, Philip Mudd.
Now we acknowledge in this country that we cannot accept this. I can't do it, Wolf. I'm sorry. We can't do it.
Yeah. Oops.
And the Oscar goes to...
What was your response, Phil Mudd?
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
Well, Trey Gowdy ought to have his ass kicked.
My name is Mudd.
I am a proud shitholer. Shitholers built this country 110 years ago. They were called slopers and slant eyes.
National Institute of Standards and Technology acknowledged that the World Trade Center Building 7 fell at freefall acceleration for over 100 feet on 9/11, which means it was meeting no resistance for eight stories. So, sparing me a diatribe about conspiracy theories, can you please give me a straight answer on how you think that's scientifically possible without the use of explosives?
Look, I think we should pass on this question. If you want to tell me that there's something going on beyond two planes going into the buildings, I never saw anything that suggested it. That was the most investigated event probably in FBI investigative history. I just,
what
you know, I don't want to spend
seven.
Time on this question. I don't think it's valid.
One generation called you a nigger. When we call the Chinese man a slant eye, when we call the man from Guatemala a spick and a wetback,
the f***,
and we call the black man a nigger.
Oh, hell no!
There's our boy, Philip Mudd, threatens to kill the president, thinks that the CIA is above the republic. His name is certainly Mudd. A proud crap holer, though. Roger, he's a proud crap holer.
That was a terrific compilation. I do think that he personifies the arrogance of the intelligence services and the deep state and the way they regard the president. That seemed to me to be a threat to assassinate the president on national television. If any conservative or Republican or Trump supporter or liberty-minded spokesperson said that of Barack Obama, or any other Democrat, there would be a national outcry. It would be a crisis, a scandal for days. Yet there it is. Mr. Mudd just pops it right out there, confirming what Alex Jones has said all along. If they fail to remove him through their phony Russian collusion investigation, if they can't remove him for some process crime pertaining to the firing of James Comey, if they can't remove him under the 25th Amendment, which both John Brennan and James Clapper advocated this week, as predicted here on InfoWars months ago, then I fear for the president's life. I pray for the president's protection every day. He is bringing such monumental change to the country. I am just hopeful that no one thinks they can duplicate the results of November 22nd, 1963, where any thinking person who examines that crime would now have to conclude government collusion in the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Well, and I think they've reached a point now where there really is no victory for them, because if they assassinate President Trump, which I'm on the same page as you, Roger, I pray that that doesn't happen every night, but if they assassinate President Trump, you know the FBI is going to cover it up. You've already seen the text from the FBI. They want to keep him out of office. You don't think they're going to cover up the assassination? So, of course, that's what's going to happen. So, but here's the thing, Roger. No one's going to buy it. Nobody is going to believe them. And so they don't know what to do. All of their normal cards, they can't use them. They tried racism. Didn't work. They tried xenophobia, didn't work. Bigoted, didn't work. The Billy Bush tape, didn't work. Separating kids at the border, didn't work. The Muslim ban, not working. Stormy Daniels, doesn't work. So, okay, well, I guess we still have assassination. You just heard Philip Mudd say the government's going to kill this guy. Oh, you're going to assassinate him, and then you're going to cover it up with the FBI and the CIA. Guess what? Not going to work. Russian collusion. Didn't work. So even if they assassinated, I think if they assassinate Trump, that's their ultimate death. And I think that maybe they realize it and that's why they don't do it. But boy, you know, they'd like to see him dead and they'd cover the whole thing up with the FBI, just like they did JFK.
Well, let's face it, though, he won't be shot from the front and the back while riding in an open convertible through the streets of Dallas, Texas. They're far more sophisticated than that. I hope the president has a food taster. when he was attended by Keith Schiller and then later by John McAtee, I was confident that someone had his back. Now, I worry about that because he is surrounded with these deep state quislings who don't support his agenda, don't really support his presidency, and I don't think they have his back. It's a legitimate worry. Now, they're going to go out. David Brock, within an hour, will put up a post saying Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer say the government's trying to assassinate Trump. No, we're raising it as a very real and legitimate possibility. It has happened previously in our American history. It is not so far-fetched. So the best thing we can do, really, is for all info warriors to lift the president up in prayer. Prayer has strength. When my wife had surgery several weeks ago and there were complications, Alex Jones called on the InfoWars audience to raise her up in prayer. And she didn't even know this, other than telling me, you know, about an hour ago, I started feeling much better. I started to feel optimistic about the whole thing. I think I'm going to be fine. It shows you the power of prayer. And therefore, the president and his family and those in his administration who are loyal to the administration, they deserve our prayers. Folks, the other thing you can do to help preserve the Trump revolution is go to the InfoWars.com store now and get your copy of Stone's Rules. This is the second greatest book ever written after the Bible. It's an indispensable, handy road guide, I would say, to the maxims and rules that I have learned in a almost 40-year record in politics and in the arena. It is a light, breezy read. It's not just for conservatives or Republicans or Trump supporters. It is can be used by anyone who wants to succeed in their chosen avocation, whether you're in business or media or tech or agriculture, for that matter, or fashion. There's something in this book for you. And now, for a short time only, I will sign copies that are purchased at InfoWars. You send them to 1007 North Federal Highway, Box 166, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33304, and I will send you your signed copy. And if you want to include a check made out to the StoneDefenseFund.com, or just in this case, Stone Defense Fund, well, I wouldn't mind. I'd be very grateful, and so would Mrs. Stone. Thanks for joining us here on The War Room. There you see it. I hope you will patronize the InfoWars store to keep us fighting and keep us financed for the struggles ahead. Get your copy at Stone's Rules there. It helps me. It helps the Stone family. It helps InfoWars, and it helps the fight for freedom.
And, of course, all of your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes it all possible. And you know, I've got these video clips here, all from MSNBC. MSNBC analysis says Trump has fulfilled Osama bin Laden's vision. What? Another MSNBC clip from Steve Schmidt, one of their experts. He's an expert, after all. Not sure on what, if anything. He says now the U.S. is worse than Venezuela. I mean, Chris Matthews has a meltdown on air over the fake Muslim ban. It's not even a Muslim ban. So this is why InfoWars needs to exist, so that we can get in the face of the fake news, the American enemy, fake news, MSNBC and CNN, and just give you the truth. That's what we do. That's what Roger does. Thank you, Roger. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back with more of The War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Do not for one second think just because somebody is on CNN or MSNBC that they are smarter than you or better than you at anything. Honestly, it's more likely that they're worse than you and dumber than you. And that's how they ended up at CNN or MSNBC. Don't believe me? Let's go now to these shocking clips from MSNBC. Let's start with MSNBC expert analysis from Steve Schmidt. He's the expert on MSNBC. Let's now go to the expert, Steve Smith.
Extraordinary and astounding hypocrisy of it to see the constancy of the assertion of Christian virtue by political leaders in this country who have established internment camps for babies and toddlers. And by the way, and I never in a million years thought I would sit here or anywhere and say this, but the difference now between Venezuela and Cuba and the United States is this. Venezuela and Cuba are the countries without internment camps for babies and toddlers.
Still ahead on
more. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They just are eating their own pets, you know, eating zoo animals, don't even have toilet paper. I mean, what? See, that's what I'm telling you. That's an expert. That is an MSNBC expert. Was that clip 10, guys? So he is telling you now that the U.S. is worse than Venezuela. Well, you know what, Steve Schmidt, the expert? Why don't you go to Venezuela and try to wipe your ass, which happens to be located at your mouth? Let's now go to the expert again, perhaps more shockingly, saying that Trump is fulfilling bin Laden's vision.
I'm thinking about former special agent of the FBI, Ali Soufan. Ali Soufan, with John O'Neill, came very, very, very close to disrupting the attacks on 9/11. He was a Lebanese immigrant and a Muslim. Is America better off with Ali Soufan here? I would argue he is. And so today,
this guy is unbelievable.
Was a fantastic fulfillment of
the
Osama
CIA and
bin
the
Laden
FBI knew of these attacks too.
Donald J. Trump. What Osama bin Laden hoped to provoke was a war of civilization, a war between the West and 1 billion Muslims. And so what Donald Trump and this Muslim ban signal to the world is that Muslims are not welcome here. That this is, whether the conservative justices say that in fact this is about executive power, the president's clear intent was to impose a religious test. And that is as fundamentally un-American as anything that he's done over the course of this presidency. The only
except there is
the
no religious test
that has the power to defeat extremist Islamic radicalism is moderate Islam. And moderate Islam was dealt a big setback today by this short-sighted, dangerous.
Okay, pull him out. So hold on. Did you hear what he just said? I'm like, he said Osama bin Laden wanted to create a war between the Muslim world and the West, and he's up there promoting it. All right, just go to clip 11 now.
Republican majority on the Supreme Court today gave President Trump what he wanted most, the good housekeeping seal on his campaign to divide the country. And approving his travel ban crudely aimed at Muslims,
you're dividing the country.
Republican-controlled highest court has shined up the entire Trump offensive on Muslims, Latinos, and let's not kid ourselves, Democrats. First, this Supreme Court gave us W by ending the
Florida recount. Yeah, but we can't eat at a restaurant, though.
Then it gave us guns for everyone in the Heller case. Then with Citizens United,
guns for everyone.
To drive our elections.
Yeah, and today, buy a gun if you're
it's
right.
Trump to do what he wants in targeting Muslims.
All right, take him down. Okay, here's my point. Steve Schmidt, jackass. Chris Matthews, jackass. Total morons. Or are they intentionally lying to you? You take your pick. Those are the quote-unquote experts are never right. You ever notice that? The experts on television are always wrong.
Thank you.
to the War Room. Jake Lloyd joins me in studio. Kalen Robertson joins us over Skype. Now, I haven't talked to Kalen yet, so I want to know where he wants to start with this. I know that he's got some information when it comes to Tommy Robinson and his current situation in jail. And then, of course, there's the Farmlands documentary that just came out that he played a part in producing, which is getting rave reviews. So those are the two topics for Kalen Robinson and Jake Lloyd with me here in the War Room for the next two segments. So I bring in Kalen Robertson. Now, Kalen, where do you want to start? What is at the top of your list? Do you want to talk Tommy Robinson and his case, or do you want to get into the documentary Farmlands that is a great documentary that you guys just produced and is getting rave reviews? Kalen Robinson, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Owen. So I'll briefly describe the Tommy situation. He's been moved to solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. He's allowed out for 1 hour, which coincidentally goes against his children who are in school at the same time, and he can't call his wife. So it's a really, really difficult situation for him. He has not been allowed to send out the letters that he wants to send publicly. I know he sent one out about 15 days ago, which now he won't be able to do the same process. So obviously he's in a very, very difficult situation. However, he is receiving emails from people from across the web, from across America and the UK. And he said to me recently that he's so happy that people have been writing him messages of so much support, updating him of what's going on, and also updating him about the World Cup as well. He's really excited to hear about that. So he's, you know, he's been removed from the volatile, violent situation, which we obviously reported on a couple of weeks ago, where he was put in a prison with a high Muslim rate, not quite 70%, but slightly less, and obviously still very, very dangerous. But now he's kind of in a bit of a situation where he's kind of in mental danger, not physical danger, where, you know, you could lose your mind a little bit being in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. He has been given a television, so obviously that will give him some stimulation. But obviously they want him reduced to nothing. They want him a vegetable. They don't want him talking about the things he's been talking about. And this is probably one of the tactics he's going to go down. But what I really want to talk about today is Farmlands, which obviously premiered 48 hours ago. And the reviews and the response has been immense from the internet. I've actually never seen a response to a documentary like this ever. You know, we've looked at documentaries on the mainstream media in the last few years, and this has been one of the most incredible things we've seen so far. Obviously, it's the first time that a massively highly produced, you know, in terms of production value, piece has ever been made on a right-wing conservative topic ever. And people are totally blown away by it. It's indistinguishable from the mainstream media content. It's indistinguishable from Vice. People are constantly saying that it looks like it belongs on HBO or Netflix. And that's exactly what we were going for. So I really want to go on to that topic. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, I actually have not seen it yet. I've seen the trailer, but that's why I'm glad Jake is in studio with us. Jake Lloyd has seen it, so he'd be more privy to lead that conversation. Jake, what'd you think of the film?
Well, I mean, exactly like what you were saying, Kalen, watching it, I mean, it does look like something that should be on HBO or maybe one of the older documentary channels like 60 Minutes or something. It's just so, not only is it so highly produced, it has such a high production value, it's so well produced, but it's packed, absolutely packed full of information. And I want to, you know, commend all of you that worked on producing it, because the way that the information is put together, it's so compelling, and it really keeps you tied into the story for the whole time. So I would really recommend that anybody out there watching it go out and I would recommend that people go out and watch the documentary, because there's some horrifying stuff happening over there in South Africa. And I'm not going to go into some of the details because it's so gruesome. And if you want to hear it, you can go watch it. But the stories from the people who clean up these crime scenes, it's absolutely horrifying. The things that are happening to these people on their farms. And it's not only people in the farms. It's people in South Africa that are being discriminated against on the basis of their skin color alone. So, Kalen, what was it like for y'all? How did you get connected with some of these people? What was it like for you to go out and talk to these people who have been struggling so hard just to live, just to survive and make ends meet, let alone not get murdered?
Well, you mentioned there was almost a team. I mean, it was actually just myself, George, Will, and John, and Lauren, just three of us in the entire process with a couple of DSLRs. And it proves that if you have the right content and if you actually report on the truth about what's really going on in the world, that it will go everywhere, because if you report the truth, if you report the things that people want to see, then it will go in the right places. So it was absolutely heartbreaking seeing the process. We went to Janine's farm where her father was brutally murdered. We went to a crossroads, actually, within 48 hours of arriving, where a farmer pointed in seven different directions with this vast landscape around us. And he said, over here, a mother lost her 12-year-old son. Over here, a farmer had his arms blown off. Over here, his legs were amputated. And he pointed in seven different directions. And he said how all these brutally, horrifically murdered scenes took place. And it was actually so biblical in terms of the proportion of how bad it really, really was and how shocking it really, really was. We went there without a bias. Obviously, there's a far-right agenda. There's a far-left agenda. The far-left say that nothing's going on. The far-right say that it's a full-on white genocide. The truth really was somewhere in the middle. However, even more shocking than we actually realized in terms of the scale of the animosity and the fury towards white people in that country, there is this very, very strange resentment against the white race, which has basically been stirred up from the education system in terms of, you know, telling everybody how terrible apartheid was. Of course it was bad, but it's perpetually pushed in terms of basically the education system of telling children that the reason that their economy isn't doing very well, the reason that the kids aren't doing very well is because of apartheid, because of white people, and they should pursue all their anger to them instead of working to better their own lives. And that's a totally toxic mentality. Communism has basically engulfed South Africa. It's basically this Marxism socialism mentality of, if we blame this person and if we distribute all the wealth from here outwards, we will all obtain massive success and we will all live happily ever after. Of course, it's total nonsense. If you look at one of the most groundbreaking interviews that we actually carried out with the head of municipalities at the African National Congress, the ruling party of South Africa, he turned up, and this isn't in the documentary, he turned up wearing a £300 Gucci belt, £600, which is about $1,000, Gucci shoes. And I recognized his aftershave from a store called Harrods, a £700 aftershave. And he lectured us on the benefits of communism and how everybody should be treated totally equally and how we should go after whites to regain total control of South Africa. None of these people care in any way about the people on the ground in that country. Even the rulers, the black rulers, do not care about South Africa. The level and the severity of the corruption in that country is totally incomprehensible. And I think the reason that Farmlands has done so well and the reason it's got such a good response is because it really highlights that. We didn't just go into the white genocide aspect. We went into the really heart of what was going on. And we uncovered some of the most shocking footage ever. I don't know if you saw the footage.
It's the very heart of the issue. And it's the same old song and dance as far as communism, because, you know, communists, they always overthrow the government or the established systems. And then, you know, they say that it's to create equality between everybody, but then the people at the top have all of the, you know, they have all of the wealth, they have all of the nice clothes, all of the everything.
Whoa, hold on. Bernie Sanders only has a couple million.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders only has a few homes and a nice car.
I'm actually different than Jake. When we come back in the next segment, I want you to talk about the gruesome details. So, spoiler alert, in the next segment, I actually want Kalen to go into some of these details because I haven't seen the documentary, and I'd like to hear about some of this stuff. But, folks, it's important to support the work of Kalen Robertson. It's important to support the work of Tommy Robinson. That's Robertson, Kalen Robertson, Tommy Robinson, just to clarify there. It's important to support them, just like it's important to support us at InfoWarsStore.com. We need alternative media putting these stories out. No one else was going to do the Farmlands documentary. No one else was going to do that documentary. It had to be done independently by Kalen Robertson and others. And that's thanks to the support I imagine that you guys have just received from independent donations. So that's the kind of stuff that we do. That's the kind of stuff that Tommy Robinson and Kalen Robertson does. And at InfoWarsStore.com, that's how you support us. We can show you how to support Kalen on the other side. We'll be right back. Spoiler alert, we're going to get into some of the details of the film because I want to know them from Kalen himself. So we'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, we've got Kaylin Robertson with us for another segment. Spoiler alert, I'm going to ask Kaylin directly about some of the content from the Farmlands documentary. So if you don't want to hear before you watch the Farmland documentary, perhaps tune away from this segment because Kaylin is going to get into some of that. But first, Jake, you wanted to bring something up. You had a question for Kaylin.
Well, yeah. So I got some messages on Twitter earlier from somebody who has been following InfoWars for a while. They're in high school, and they sent me a few messages. Now, this person does not live in the farmlands where it's most dangerous. They just live in South Africa in a suburb, I believe. And the messages are talking about, you know, it's almost like a glorified prison. There's fences around the houses. We have to lock our doors at night. Some people have extra doors to separate their bedrooms. A person can't walk in the streets alone. Children can't play outside alone. We have to be so, so careful so something bad doesn't happen. And I wanted to bring that up to show that's just somebody who lives in like a normal suburb or in a city. So then, as Owen was saying, Kaylin, we wanted to ask you some of the more extreme examples of what of the accounts of the people who have lived in the farmlands and have experienced these things, or the people who've been the crime cleanup scene. So that's what we wanted to hear from you now.
Well, obviously, it's actually very, very difficult to even talk about. And it's a very, very sensitive topic. So thanks for giving that warning before to your audience. So we interviewed the woman who cleans up the majority of crime scenes in South Africa. And she's actually commissioned by the government to go and take out those contracts. So it's all completely legitimate. One of the most horrifying stories that she actually told us was of a family on a rural farm in sort of the middle of South Africa, just under Bloemfontein, who had her entire family murdered. They barged into the house, four people. They shot the mother, they shot the father, and they drowned their 12-year-old boy in a bath of boiling hot water. And she described to me the scene where she actually had to clean his skin from the rim of the bath. He had a layer of skin from the rim of the bath that she actually had to clean off. And it's horrifying. And then seconds later, she told us about, I mean, it's harrowing. She told us about another story where a bunch of intruders broke into another farm where they had strangled the mother on the kitchen table. They had shot the father upstairs, and they had attempted to drown their babies in the bath. The mother was giving them a bath when they broke into the house. One of their babies survived, and they had actually crawled all the way out of the bath. This is a baby. Through the bathroom into the kitchen, and there was a blood and sort of because they had done a violent strangling, there was a blood trail all the way from the bath, and the baby had died in the mother's arms in the kitchen. These are horrifying stories. And another one from a farm about 20 miles away where a middle-aged farmer was saying how his mother had her eyes brutally with a fork pricked into her eyes. They pulled her eyes out while she was alive, and they pricked her whole body 52 times. So her body was full of holes, and then dumped her on the side of the road. This is not a situation where people are having their houses broken into. The government are reporting, and they're saying that these are farm robberies gone wrong, or they're burglaries gone wrong. This is the most sinister, malicious, malignant type of thing that we have ever seen happen, probably on the face of the earth, excluding the persecution.
But let's be clear here. The South African leadership is encouraging this. So of course, they don't want to make it out to be some sort of a crime. They're the ones that are actually encouraging this. How much of that do you get into in the farmlands?
Of course, the South African government are encouraging this. I mean, that's not even a conspiracy. Look at the 1970s and 1980s. Winnie Mandela, Nelson Mandela's wife, publicly endorsed necklacing, which is where you put a tire around someone's body, fill it with petrol,
and let's remember,
fire.
She got hailed as a hero. So Trump, the bad guy, for wanting to rejuvenate America, her name just slipped
Winnie.
My mind.
Yeah,
Winnie Mandela Winnie. Burns tires around people's necks, and she's a hero.
Not just a hero, but she celebrated, I mean, yes, of course a hero. Actually, a very famous MP called David, who is currently functioning in our parliament right now, congratulated her birthday only a few months ago and said, happy anniversary, happy birthday to Winnie Mandela. So she's currently celebrated. There is a statue of Nelson Mandela outside Parliament right now. So whites in Europe and Europeans in general are celebrating this culture of extreme violence and excessive gore. They're celebrating it. They don't feel anything for what's actually happening. And that's why Parliament is so important.
If you could clear something up real quick, because we're constantly told, you know, as European descended people, wherever we live, whether it's America, Europe, Australia, South Africa, we're told that the reason that these things happen is because South Africa, for example, the story is that we moved in, the Europeans, you know, because it's corporate guilt. We moved in and we enslaved these people. We oppressed them, all of this different stuff. We did horrible, horrible things to them. So the idea is basically that the Afrikaners, the white people in South Africa, had it coming. Can you speak to that and clear up? Because I know you mentioned it, the history of the Dutch settlement in South Africa. So can you clear that up, that lie that the Europeans just stepped in and started oppressing people?
Oh, I'll clear that up right now. I mean, either Thank people you. Are purposely ignoring this because they're disgusting people, or they've been manipulated to and lied to in the education system. The whites who settled in South Africa settled at a time where South Africa was barely lived on. There were practically nobody living there except for a few Khoisan people, which were sort of a sub-ethnic group of tribes who were sort of living on the land. When the Dutch settled in the 17th century, they happily traded with the groups. They happily traded with those ethnic groups. It took years since the Dutch settled in South Africa to actually come into human contact with anybody who was already living there. It wasn't until hundreds of years later in which the North African blacks migrated south into South Africa, in which they encountered real blacks, real African blacks for the first time. And that's what's so infuriating, because this ridiculous narrative has been pushed saying that, you know, these awful colonialist whites pushed into South Africa, stole all the land, enslaved everybody and put in apartheid. When in fact, the Dutch were trading and happily working with the Khoisan people for hundreds and hundreds for centuries. And it was a completely peaceful thing. And also the North African blacks who migrated into South Africa at that time were totally at war with themselves and the ethnic blacks who were already in South Africa and the Khoisan people. So the history is totally manipulated. And it proves that if you have a totalitarian, communist, Marxist, socialist government put into place, then your entire history will be manipulated and moved around at will. And the same thing will probably happen to Europe within the next.
That's the same story that happens in the United States of America, where they lie about our history. But it really goes beyond that. You know, the entire history of humans has pretty much been a lie for the most part. I mean, evolved from a monkey. Wow. Are you that stupid? But that's what we're dealing with. So the documentary is called The Farmlands. Kaylin Robertson, great work on that. Thank you for the update on Tommy Robinson. Just next time you can get the word out to Tommy, just remind him that we're praying for him and his family. And we just want him to stay safe in there and just stay strong in there. Thank you for joining us. At Kaylin Rob on Twitter is where you can find him. We're going to keep Jake Lloyd with me for another segment here. This is The War Room. I'm Owen Schroyer. Kaylin Robertson checks out. Check out The Farmlands. Share the video of The Farmlands with people so they can know the truth about what's going on in South Africa. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
We're wargaming here in the middle of the war room. That's what we got to do now. There's just so much news breaking all the time, which this story is not important. But here's what irks me about this story, Jake Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Penis size research project by Missouri State University professor seeks 3,600 explicit photos. So So this Missouri State professor, professor, sorry, I can't even say that without, excuse me. Anyway, this Missouri State hack job professor wants to do this penis size project where she's trying to determine if the size of your genitalia can also measure your confidence and success and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Sounds kind of perverted. Don't really see the point. But regardless, that's the project that this professor submitted to the university. And guess what? She got state funding to now measure penis size. So she's literally having people send her penis pictures for her to analyze. And then she asks questions about their manhood and their confidence. And this is now a government state-run project at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. If you want to have your little perverted penis experiment, go ahead. Do it on your dime, okay? You're making taxpayers pay for a penis size experiment. This is like giving the key to Los Angeles to a porn star. Oh, wait, they did that too, Jake.
Well, one of the infamous examples is, do you remember when the government did a study to see if there's any correlation with obesity and lesbians?
Oh, I don't remember that one. Well, that had to be grounded.
Can you guess what the result was?
Probably pretty high.
Lesbians are fat. Yeah, are lesbians fatter than the rest of the female population? Yes, they are. It's like I could have told you that.
Wait.
I could have told you that for free. What? I don't need government funding.
I don't want to know how you knew that, but that's, so you're telling me the stereotypes about lesbians being hot and skinny is wrong?
Oh yeah, it's very wrong.
I didn't know about it. Wow. Now I realize the importance.
See, my experiment was just like living in reality. That's what it's free. Hmm. I just see people and I'm like, oh wow, that's how people are. I don't need millions of dollars of tax funding. They also did another government-funded program was to teach dogs how to run on a treadmill. And it wasn't dogs. It was something more. If it could get more ridiculous than dogs, it was shrimp. Shrimp running on treadmills.
What? Like,
the government. No, exactly.
What?
Yes. Shrimp running on treadmills. This is the government. This is what the government does for us. God. What would we do without them? What would we do without them?
See, I knew that this would happen. Oh my, there it is. Shrimp on a treadmill. See, I knew this would happen, where you look at one example of a absolute ridiculous study, government funded. Again, if you want to do this on your own time with your own money or privately funded, then by all means, study the male genitalia, okay? Call it science, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have video of this, or is that just the picture? I'd like to see that shrimp in a dead sprint. I'd like to see that What do you think that shrimp runs the 40 in aqua time?
Oh, man, I don't know. He's got to be fast, though. Look at how many legs he has. I bet that there's, like, what they need to study now is if there's, like, a correlation between the number of legs you have and how fast you can run a 40.
How many?
As a shrimp, as a shellfish.
Just trying to figure, how many clicks do you think a shrimp can run in a minute?
Underwater or on land?
Either way. I mean, we got the studies. We have the video. Come on, let's get that shrimp moving. This is your government money.
Look at him
work.
Go.
Oh, he can fly. Oh, my.
Look at him.
Sign that man up for the NFL. Get him a jersey.
That's the next study. Can a shrimp carry a football? Can we teach a shrimp to carry a football?
I don't know if that shrimp can carry a football. The football might be too big for that shrimp, but maybe shrimp football is next.
Mm.
See, this is the kind of garbage that our government pays for. We're trillions of dollars in debt. And I've got the government funding shrimp on a treadmill.
Shrimp on a treadmill, yeah.
Do you think it's healthier to eat that shrimp than a non?
It might be.
Shrimp?
He might have less. He might have less toxins in his body. He might be more. He's leaner. Yeah, as the crew says. Yeah, I don't know, but we have the government funding shrimp on a treadmill, testing penis size correlation to confidence, and meanwhile, like, people are being killed in South Africa. Like, but we're not offering refugee status to those people.
I wonder if this professor from Missouri State, whose name I don't have in front of me, that's fine though. I wonder that the what? The study of a shrimp on a treadmill cost the taxpayer almost $700,000. All right. I'm about to go crazy. See if you can find out how much the professor at Missouri State's study is going to cost. Here's my thing. How is she even going to get 3,600 pictures of male genitalia? Are there that many men that are going to voluntarily, you know, get themselves ready for a picture?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just amazed that 3,600.
Who wants to do this?
Do you need a sample size of 3,600?
Apparently.
I don't think you do. I took like a high school level stats class, and I don't think you need a sample size of 3,600 people. And I mean, imagine if, Marcos has something to say.
She could just post newly single on social media and she'll get all of her research data she needs.
Exactly. That's a very, very valid point.
Also, what's that email address again?
Marcos wants to send his male member to the Missouri State.
You know, what? Really good at
it's for science.
For science. And so I can show off my photography skills.
Yes. Mm.
Lit really well and all that.
Your photography skills are so good, you don't even take the picture with your hands. I'll just leave it at that. See if we can get, let's take care of Marcos. Let's get the professor's email address. Marcos, if you need to take a couple minutes to go to the restroom and, prepare yourself for these pictures to make sure that, we don't want you to get shorted, basically. You know, we want you to get the full, okay? So Marcos is maybe going to be a part of that experiment.
Now, imagine if a male professor was like, we need to conduct an experiment to see if breast size.
They did that. Actually, they did that. They actually did that. A professor did a study on breast size and how that affects a woman's confidence. That study actually happened, Jake Lloyd.
Well, you know, I was just memeing around a little bit, but.
I didn't realize that your meme was real. All right, we're taking confidence measurements here live in the studio. Darren McBreen and Marcos Morales are actually measuring each other's confidence right now to see whose confidence is bigger. McBreen's claiming victory. Are you gonna submit your confidence to the Missouri State professor too, Darren McBreen? Are you gonna submit? It's for science, McBreen. It's for science. Okay. All right. You know what? This is the kind of stuff that goes to InfoWarsStore.com. At InfoWarsStore.com, if you fund us, we're not going to be measuring our confidence here. Instead, we're going to be reporting on crap like this. I don't think the government should be funding male genitalia studies. I don't think the government should be funding female breast size studies. I think that kind of stuff, if you're going to fund the government, you know, we should be getting new roads. You know, how about you measure the size of a pothole on the main road in your city before you're measuring the size of a penis. Yeah, there it is right there. Scientific analysts reveal major differences in the breast size of women in different countries. Oh, that was just measuring what country they're from. So that'll be next. What country are you from? There it is. Assistant Professor Alicia Walker. So there you go. Dr. Walker, Strong Hall, Missouri State University. There's her email and her number if you want to send her a picture of your confidence. Now, if you want real news reported, if you want news that's sick of the government funding research like this, InfoWarsStore.com is how you fund us, where we get new reporters like Savannah Hernandez and Jake Lloyd. So if you don't like me, we give you other options.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Saying is, if you're going to submit your picture, you just make sure that you take the Super Male Vitality and the Alpha Power and then the Extendawise before you take your picture. So you get, I'm live? Oh, welcome back to the War Room. And we've got some important news to cover, obviously. Shrimp on treadmills, confident size in men. No, but for real, So we just had the 28-year-old Democratic socialist Alexandria Cortez win. She beats the Democrat machine, Joe Crowley, in New York. I talked about my conspiracy theory behind that earlier. I kind of think this was a rigged deal, to be honest with you. I think they rigged this for her. I don't even think she knows it. And I think they did this to grease the skids for their next messaging campaign, which is straight up socialism. The Democrats have no other messaging campaign. The anti-America campaign didn't work. The race baiting didn't work. Russian collusion, hatred of Trump, hatred of this, hatred of everything. It all failed. There's nowhere else they can go other than to just to go farther left and just admit they're socialist, admit they're communist. So I think this is the sign that they're about to do this. And you could see in her eyes, I think this girl's a true believer, to be honest with you. But we'll get more into that. But first, let's go to this video. You already had the ABC News team doing a report on Trump's border wall, and then literally people are hopping the wall to get into the country illegally while they're reporting on it. In similar fashion, look at this clip, MSNBC. Oh, this is also ABC. When they're doing a report at the border, when they catch a live smuggling operation in real time.
¿Cuántos más vienen? Look, there's a smuggler. Espérate ahí, espérate ahí.
On the South Texas border, an alleged human smuggling operation as it happens. Border Patrol agent Robert Rodriguez chasing an alleged smuggler, escaping back to Mexico across the Rio Grande.
That's a smuggler? This is the smuggler right here. ¿Cuándo te pagaron?
I ask him if he was paid, but no answer.
And Agent Rodriguez, you can't go in there.
I cannot go in the river to apprehend him. As long as it goes back south, I'm all right.
How do you know that was a smuggler?
Guaranteed he's a smuggler, just by the way he was dressed. No shirt, wearing shorts. As soon as he saw me, he was in trail gear.
Oh, my gosh. Robert Rodriguez is the name of that agent?
Back up the clearing, no sign of the migrant families. But a quarter mile up the road, there they are. Up close, we can see they're tired, sweating, and confused. And right there, in his mother's arms, a baby. His name is Angel. His mother says she's been traveling for a month, starting in Honduras. I ask her about taking Angel on the dangerous journey. She breaks down. She tells me gangs threatened to kill her baby. They already killed his father.
So it's about 100 degrees here in McAllen, Texas.
You know what's amazing and sad about this, ladies and gentlemen? As we get real here for a minute after joking. The United States sends millions and millions of dollars in humanitarian aid to these countries. It's obviously not working. So not only are we sending millions and millions of dollars to these countries that are in such dire straits, people would rather brave a 100, if not 1,000 mile trek, dangerous. You've got rape, you've got drug dealers, murderers all on the way. You might not even make it. They're willing to brave that journey for a chance to get into America instead of live in their actual home countries. And we're sending millions of dollars of humanitarian aid to these countries. I think we better figure out what needs to be done here, because one of these things has to stop. The crew pulled it up right there. So we send millions and millions of dollars of humanitarian aid to these countries, and then what do they do with it? It's still so bad there that they all have to come here. So we should either stop sending the aid, or we should make sure that all the humanitarian aid we're sending to the likes of El Salvador, Honduras, that these countries are actually trying to fix themselves. They're not. So we pay for these countries to be fixed so we don't have to take all of their refugees, and then they don't get fixed and they come here anyway, and we pay again to have them here. This is how America is getting raped financially, and then people end up poor in inner cities and they wonder why. That's why. That's why your government taxes you out the ass. That's why you don't get a manufacturing job, because they ship it overseas. I kept my cool for almost 3 hours today, but this is madness. This is literal madness. And then we get told we're the bad guys because we just don't have a wide open border. We send these countries millions and millions of dollars. They do nothing with it. And then we have to take all the people that are victimized by their corrupt governments. Do you realize the insanity here? What are you going to do? You're either going to stop sending the humanitarian aid, or you're going to say, you better fix yourselves. We're not taking your people anymore. Get it? Got it? Good. And guess what's going to happen when that humanitarian aid gets pulled from them? They're going to shape up real quick because then they have nothing. But America's the bad guy. We take in more refugees than any other country worldwide. We send out more humanitarian funds than every other country on earth combined, and then we're demonized. And now ICE is the new police officer. So now, just like you do the rap song about busting a cop, you know, shooting a cop, killing a cop, and that's all trendy and cool. Now that's ICE, and now ICE gets demonized, and they say ICE is racist against Latino people. I bet you at least a quarter, if not more, ICE agents are Latino people. Just like in the video. What was the guy? Robert Rodriguez, a Latino person, there at the border, doing his job. It's not a race issue. It's called a sovereignty issue. But what does the media do? What does the public school system do? They twist it and lie to you. Yeah, there you go. Occupy ICE movement. You know, dox all people in ICE. A lot of these people are Latino. So are you racist? How about all the black people that work for ICE? Are you racist against them? You're a bunch of deranged lunatics. Now, let's go to clip 14. This is the woman, Alexandria Cortez, that just beat Joe Crowley. Major upset. She didn't expect it. Listen to what she says about ICE in clip 14.
Antithetical to everything that I believe in, and that's what I fight for every
and
day.
And you know what? If this organization is as fascist as you have called it,
I've said it's fascist.
And you have said it's fascist, then why don't you adopt the stance to eliminate it?
You know
this
what
is
fascism
a moral
is?
Problem, and your response has been to apply more paperwork to
these
this situation.
These people are literally fascists.
To collect more information on immigrants, and that puts our communities in danger, and it also conveys a profound misunderstanding of how we should be approaching this problem.
This is interesting to me. I believe that Alexandria Cortez is a true believer. I really do. I look at her eyes. I think she has a soul. She really believes this stuff. She has been totally brainwashed. And I don't even think she realizes what just happened in this election. Guys, see if you can find some of the B-roll of her responding to her victory last night. You can just pull it up on YouTube. I don't need the audio. I just want the audience to see her reaction. She was shocked. She was stunned. Nobody expected this. Now, again, I'm telling you, my conspiracy theory, I'm admitting this is a conspiracy theory. When I have a conspiracy theory, I'll tell you that I'm going there. So my conspiracy theory is that this election was rigged, and the reason why they brought in this 28-year-old Democrat socialist is because the Democrats are about to change their message, and they needed a face to do it. And she's got a pretty nice face to look at. So they bring her in. She's an admitted socialist. She's a true believer. She doesn't even understand the power structure behind her pulling the levers. She's the perfect candidate for the Democrats to change their messaging right now. A true believer, an attractive woman, a Latino who's a admitted socialist. So now the Democrats can use her as the face of their new message, which is socialism. The hate Trump message failed. Russian collusion message failed. Racism message. Everything else has failed. So now they've finally decided our next message, our next agenda is to go full socialist. She is the face of that message. Who knows where she ends up, but that's what I see going on. Yeah, that's her last night. She literally can't believe it.
Looking at herself on television right now. How are you feeling? Can you put it into words?
Nope. I cannot put this into words.
All right, your supporters here are very excited.
Look at that. That is genuine shock. That is a true believer. I don't think that she even knows what's going on, to be honest with you. We've actually reached out and see if she'll come on the broadcast. She's done a huge media tour, so maybe she'll come on the air with me. But I think that's a true believer right there. But you know what that means? A true believer's mind can be changed. So Democrats, you better watch out. You better watch out who you choose for your message of socialism. I bet she can be flipped real easy. I bet she can be flipped real easy with the right message. All right, that does it for the War Room. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll see you tomorrow. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
You deserve a deep, restful sleep with Knockout by InfoWars Life. Our organic formula is made from high-quality natural ingredients such as valerian root extract, L-tryptophan, lemon balm leaf extract, and melatonin. Knockout packs a powerful punch to get you through the night and achieve proper sleep. Millions of people around the world experience daytime drowsiness, but with the rapid speed of life, we need to be able to keep up the pace. Our natural mixture harnesses the power of 10 known ingredients to let your body relax and get the sleep you need. Wake up refreshed and take on the day. InfoWars Life wants to bring you a sleep support formula that goes above and beyond other leading brands at an affordable price. Get the sleep you deserve and experience the power of knockout. Head on over to InfoWarsLife.com and say goodbye to fatigue. That's InfoWarsLife.com.